Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Love this show. Love this job. What a great gig. That was my buddy Dick Brubaker on a few minutes ago. I've, you know, one of the neat things that God has done with the weird resume I have is help me to forge relationships all over the place that wind up just continuing to enrich my life. And people like Dick Brubaker are you know, just folks like that. I love being able to just call them on the cell phone and say, hey, how about coming on? Sure. And they provide great content when they do. Well, listen, folks, before I go any further, too, I got to tell you about another great relationship, Otter Creek Farm. So Frank and Jane Brown are my friends. They own Otter Creek Farm. They have for a number of years. They have developed one of the most incredible facilities, and just the landscape out there is unreal. So Otter Creek Farm is a wing shooting destination. If you love to hunt pheasant and quail, if you love to eat well, because, oh, man, the chefs out there, I don't say culinary staff, I mean it's chefs. The chefs out there cook unbelievably. The facilities are amazing. It's also a wedding venue. Can you imagine a pavilion flanked by two lakes with all the manicured acres out behind it? And if you like to hunt, they got the guides, the guns, the dogs. Take a corporate retreat there. Take a day there yourself. Stay overnight. When you look at it on the website at ottercreekfarmstead.com, you'll quickly realize why did Donald Trump Jr. stay there? Because the place is so incredible. That's why. So folks, I'm just telling you, check out their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com. Otter Creek Farm. I love that place. So listen, a while ago I had a story relating right here in Alabama. AL.com. I like to pick on AL.com because they make it so easy. But AL.com had an article. And it's, by the way, it's published through one of their sections they call the Education Lab. In other words, they're dealing with education. But the story, the whole premise of the story was, oh no, now we have to have parental consent for minor children to get the vaccine. That might slow down teenagers getting vaccinated. Well, folks, it doesn't work that way. You don't just inject chemicals that are otherwise controversial into minors' bodies and then call it done when parents don't have a say or even know. I mean, it boggles my mind. Well, the real issue, in my opinion, is the fact that another article from the Education Lab at AL.com by Trisha Powell Crane, in this case, who actually is a pretty good reporter. She does a better job than the other one I was reading from. But the real story is our test scores have fallen. Our test scores have just dropped precipitously since all the shutdowns last year. Not that Alabama's test scores were great in the first place. So for those of y'all that don't know, we have a new standardized testing system in Alabama. It's called the ACAP, I believe. Yeah, the Alabama Comprehensive Assessment Program. And so we don't have, you know, large numbers of years of tracking data, but the ACAP test data just came in. It ain't good. So we're ranked number 50th in the nation. But right now, I'm looking at things like our math scores are down. Can you imagine? Oh, let's find one. Good night. Fifth grade math dropped from 45% proficiency at grade level to 25% in 2021. Can you imagine? How about this? Seventh grade math scores went from 45% proficiency in 2019 to 16% proficiency in 2021. Folks, that's unreal. That is, and so that's the story. AL.com, if your education lab is going to be worth its salt, that's the story. What are we doing to bring education back around? It's not about mandating vaccines without parental consent. It's about getting our education system back online, bringing it into a position where our kids are not going to failing schools, where our kids are not in number 50th in the nation in overall capability testings for the school systems. I'm just telling you. We've got to do better than this. And the reporting in this state has got to get better than what it is. The very idea that some liberal organization like Report for America can give a grant to AL.com and get a story written that says something like, you know, oh, parents shouldn't have a say in whether their kids get vaccinated and call that an education story when the real story is happening on a different day, published in a different capacity, that talks about the fact that number 50 in the nation is probably number 55 now. Who knows? I'm just saying, folks, we got to do better than this for our kids. Parents have a right not only to a say in the medical conditions and care of their kids, parents have a right to demand more of the education system. Those tax dollars that fund education, they are not there for the system. They are there to educate the child, wherever that child goes. And we better start seeing some school choice, state legislature. We better start seeing it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Taking a break here for the news, and we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. The biggest show across the North Alabama region in the afternoons is this one, and it's because of this audience, and I know it, and I'm appreciative. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have this opportunity, this platform. It's a real honor. And folks, before I go any further, too, I got to tell you, we have an incredible Right Side team. Just signed up some new folks that are going to be team members starting in the next few days. You'll be hearing from Just Love Coffee and the National Christian Foundation, among others. And that's just a testament to the fact that people are hearing the show and they want to be a part of it. So I'm looking forward to you hearing more about them in the days to come. But I also got to tell you, while I'm sitting here just opining about these friends and these team partners, are literally, like for instance, ZLA Solutions, that's one that's been with us since day one. ZLA Solutions, they are amazing at putting people back to work. And I know these people personally. I know them quite well. ZLA Solutions literally puts people back to work all over the state. Like if you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. Or if you're looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce because you're an employer, go to ZLAUSA.com. That's what they do. They find the people and they put them in the jobs. And they can do all the recruiting, the drug testing, the background checks, all of it. They can do the headhunting, blue collar, white collar, no collar, doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, they're good at it. ZLA Solutions. They like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions. Go to ZLAUSA.com. Hey, so Copper, listen, a lot of talking there. Me and my buddy Dick Brubaker a minute ago, talking about this parental consent for vaccines. Let me hear from you. I mean, what do you think about all this notion?
You know, I'm divided on this because
where are you divided?
I think it's ridiculous that the government wants to just get parents out of the way and say, oh, "How dare you try and stop me ruling your child's life?" That's absurd. But I also think some of our current laws go a little bit far, basically treating children like the property of parents. And if a child wants to get, say, the flu vaccine and their parents are anti-vaxxers and they're 15-year-olds and they're working a job and they're responsible and they're like, I get so sick every year. Why are my crazy parents not letting me get the health care I need? Like, should the parent really be able to stop that near adult from doing what they need to stay healthy?
And the answer to that's going to wind up being yes in many cases. I'll say that because there has to be some threshold. Like for instance, that same 15-year-old could not borrow the car keys and be out on a Friday night because they're not eligible to drive on their own yet. That same 15-year-old cannot say, "Dad, I feel like having a beer with dinner." Can't do it. It's against the law. And that same 15-year-old couldn't say, "I choose to vote whether you want me to or not." So there are thresholds of age within the law all over the place. And we actually, I mean, if you think about it too, Copper, we have like the issue of statutory rape. It's called statutory rape because statutorily a minor of a certain age is not considered old enough to have given consent to have sexual relations. And so it's considered to be something that is rape by virtue of their statutory age.
Of course.
And so we have all these different parameters in the law already that say, they're minors. There are decisions that are not reserved to them. And I don't mean that in some kind of rude way, but it's generally speaking, it's predetermined in the law that these things exist. Now, I get what you're saying. And we do have a couple of options there. And I don't want to just like go advance these. But what I'm saying is, number one, if a child is considered emancipated, meaning that at a certain age, they already got married and they're considered to be separate from their parents. Well, that's different. And that does still happen. You may have a 16, 17-year-old who married early for whatever reason, and he or she is considered able to be emancipated under the law and make their own decisions.
Yeah.
The other one would be if there is some withholding of true medical care, then DHR, Department of Human Resources, can get involved and intervene on behalf of that child. But that's a pretty extreme example, and I don't think a vaccine is going to qualify.
Sure. It's when it breaks down and stops being that those laws are in place to protect the child from bad decisions or something like that, and starts becoming more about what the parent wants versus for their personal opinions. It's like, are you really doing this for the child, or are you doing this because this is what you like and what you want?
Well, and that's true. And then, you know, within a short time thereafter, the child reaches a certain age and they can make their own decisions.
Yeah, but has it caused harm?
Has it caused harm? That's a good point. I think at this point, though, I would bet that the vast majority of parents, even those who are pro-vaccine, would still prefer to know that someone chose to inject their child.
Oh, of course, of course. That part, I think, is ridiculous.
Yeah, and so the idea that anyone's going to apply medical treatment without consent, to me, is wrong. Now, there actually is a provision in the law. Golly bum. Now, when I first heard about this, I went and looked it up because I am an attorney and I do go and review the law occasionally. That's what we do as attorneys. And I was struck by the fact that there actually is a provision in the law that says that they could do this shot technically. They could do it without parental consent because it falls into some exception in the law that says ages 14 and up. I still think it's bad form. And I personally was appalled when I saw that law and felt like that's something that the legislature probably does not even know is there. What is that date from? That's like from the 1800s or something? I don't know. How long has that been there? But legally speaking, potentially they could do this. Morally, ethically speaking, I think they better not. And I think public health made the right decision here to back off and change their policy. Wow. Anyway. Well, listen, I want to switch gears for a minute. Because what we are talking about, by the way, is what gets into progressive culture. All right, the idea that parents have little say, unless it's about something that liberals like, the idea that parents shouldn't ever get in the way of a child getting an abortion, you know, which is one of the arguments they make sometimes, it's just to me, it's antithetical to common sense. Found a great article in The Economist magazine this weekend. The article's called "The Illiberal Left and How Did American Wokeness Jump from Elite Schools to Everyday Life?" And it talks about the history of this. I mean, literally it goes on and talks about the fact that, you know, all of these things that we would typically call wokeness now, which are basically like left liberal identity politics and social justice activism, all kind of under one umbrella, that most of them started in the campuses of the nation, mostly in the liberal arts. And there was a great deal of complacency. It was like, oh, that thing happened on the campus. And that liberal professor said this, and everybody shrugs and goes, college. And it was kind of like this, in the article, they call it the Vegas campus delusion. Vegas meaning, you know, what happens on campus stays on campus. Well, it hasn't stayed on campus. The article says it's jumped off campus now. And we literally have social justice mindsets being felt all over the place, in the media, in the Democrat Party especially, businesses and schools. And so wokeness is becoming this thing. Well, even some liberals are getting tired of it. So I've got a clip. Copper, you go ahead and get clip 7 ready. Let me know when you're ready. But clip 7 is Bill Maher, of all people. And I will say this. I don't like Bill Maher's style. I don't like his views by and large. I know that. He's a liberal. He's a self-avowed liberal. I don't agree with his views. One thing I have noticed, though, is he will call out his own people when he sees something that he knows is setting back their cause. And so I tell you what, go ahead and play clip 1, Copper. Or excuse me, make that clip 7.
To me, when people say to me sometimes, like, boy, you know, you go after the left a lot these days. Why? I'm like, because you're embarrassing me. That's why I'm going after the left in a way you never did before, because you're inverting things that I'm not going to give up on being liberal. This is what these teachers are talking about, that you're taking children and making them hyper aware of race in a way they wouldn't otherwise be. I mean, I saw last night on the football game, Alicia Keys sang "Lift Every Voice and Sing," which now I hear is called the Black National Anthem. Now, maybe we should get rid of our national anthem, but I think we should have one national anthem. I think when you go down a road where you're having two different national anthems, colleges sometimes now have, many of them have different graduation ceremonies. for black and white, separate dorms. This is what I mean, segregation. You've inverted the idea. We're going back to that under a different name. But
it's a great clip. I mean, it's interesting to me to hear a liberal call out liberals. And he's pointing out to them that, yeah, I see that, Copper. I see your note. It was nice. I mean, and Bill Maher, like I said, is not somebody who I tend to lean on for, you know, insights. But somehow or another, I stumbled across this when I was doing my research for today's show. I stumbled across this clip and I thought, too good not to use. Bill Maher, of all people, saying, I'm a liberal. Why am I getting tired of some of you progressives? Because you're embarrassing me. I mean, and what a great point. But I want to tell you, too, this article goes on to talk about, and in fact, it even references a book that I've never heard of before called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it talks about the fact that, like, we've had an age of overprotective parenting, the war on terror, and you know, the Great Recession. And Copper, are you familiar with that book, The Coddling of the American Mind?
I have. It's a favorite of my family. I haven't actually read it, though, but I hear great things about it.
All right. Well, I need to get you and I both a copy of it then. Yeah. So, so it doesn't sound like easy reading. It's not like, you know, just good light bathroom reading here. I'm pretty sure this is going to be one that I've got to use the highlighter and sit there and feel like I'm gaining from it. But
I think it's up there with the Here We Are, Entertain Us, or Entertaining Ourselves to Death, I think is the actual name of the book.
Oh, that sounds like a good one. But listen, this book talks about the fact that we are living in an age when all these things have come together, and so often they have developed this sense of entitlement, this sense of I need protecting, and oh, you can't trigger me, and I'm a, you know, I need my safe spaces, and you've got to stop being you because that infringes upon me. And folks, I'm just going to tell you that wokeism is going to be the downfall of this culture. It literally is. And then we've got, the article goes on to talk about some of the things that have advanced it, like, for instance, mass communication, like social media. I do Twitter. I still have a Facebook page, although I never use it. But you can see where there has been an increase in liberal dialogue because they find each other now on social media and they can feed, and then they go and they just amplify their causes. And then they can start their cancel culture. And then they grow these roots, and the social justice consciousness begins to spread. And now it's non-academic. It's not out there just in the universities. You've got cancel culture stemming out of the liberal progressiveness that is extending into the fear that corporate America has of being canceled. And so they give tons of money, and they try to appear woke, like Woca-Cola. I'm a big Coca-Cola fan. That just burns me. But Woca-Cola and others that try to come out and extend themselves. Oh, look at us. We're woke like you. Instead of standing on their own 2 feet like, you know, I don't know, MyPillow or Chick-fil-A. And next thing you know, their sales are skyrocketing because they refuse to yield. But folks, I will tell you this. I tell you what, I've got a clip we're going to play when I come back from this. Let's go ahead and go to our short break. But when I come back from this, I want to play you an amazing clip from an amazing young man who was on Fox this weekend. And I thought, this is a high school kid in New York City? He wrote an op-ed that was in the New York Post. And he talks about how his parents instilled values in him. And he was given a chance to go to a charter school. And that discipline has made all the difference. And he goes against the grain of wokeism. And I do believe that he is not alone in the world. So folks, you hang tight. I'm going to play that clip when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey folks, listen, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at eTax Breaks. eTaxBreaks.com. What a cool business. Can you imagine this? You're a business. You own the business, and suddenly someone says, hey, I can find you some money. Excuse me? No, it's not like I know a guy. You know, you want to buy a watch? No, nothing like that. It's all nothing shady. It's real. It's a business. Etaxbreaks.com is a business that finds money for other businesses. And when I say that, I mean like no strings attached kind of money. Basically, there's like 3,000 programs out there that literally just qualify you for monies you didn't know you qualified for simply because of the common sense ways you run your business. Things like, where did you put your business geographically? Who did you hire? Like, did you hire a veteran or something like that? Did you survive the pandemic as a business and retain your employees? Did you, survive a natural disaster like Hurricane Katrina or something like that? It's amazing. Last month alone, they found $7 million for their clients in 1 month. 1 month. And they only get paid if they find you money. I encourage you, go to their website. They got a special website for Right Side listeners, etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. I know these folks personally. They got 23 years experience. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. All right, so listen, I said before that I've got a clip that I want to play for you. And I hope this clip does it justice. But I saw this weekend, and I had to like go out there and search. I had to find it. I had to bring it back in. It was an interview on Fox, but I found it on MSN finally and brought it in. Copper, you let me know when you've got clip one ready to roll. But it is so encouraging to see something like this. And this particular kid, and I say kid, he's a high school kid. This particular kid in high school wrote an op-ed that was published in the New York Post. And in that op-ed, he literally went on about how woke culture is not what he intends to be a part of, that his parents instilled in him certain values, that they gave him a chance to go to a charter school and change his education level, that he believed in self-discipline. After school, he washes dishes at a Panera Bread. I mean, this is like everything. And by the way, he's a young black kid in New York City who could have had every opportunity based on what he said his backstory was to be disenfranchised, and he's not. He is literally going against popular culture's grain. Go ahead and play clip one, Copper.
So many of your friends, so much of the culture, so much of social media has gone woke, has gone in that direction. Is it intimidating to kind of cut against the grain, or is it liberating?
Well, I would say that there are very few things in this world that aren't intimidating, but the question isn't whether it is intimidating or not, it is whether you have the guts to continue on with it despite that intimidation.
I'm intimidated by you, just a little bit. This is an impressive young guy right here. This is not be the last you've heard from him. Daniel E. Friends. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you
Great
for having me.
Great article at the New York Post. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
What a cool interview. I mean, there's no way I could have played the whole interview for you. It would have taken up a whole, 10-minute segment here. But I wanted you to hear the last thing he said, because that's where it really got me. All those things, I mean, he talked about, even at one point he talked about how there were times when he didn't understand his parents' discipline, but then later on he recognized the value of it. Already recognizes the value of it? He's only in high school. He recognizes the value of self-discipline. He recognizes the value of hard work. He recognizes that he is not in any way disenfranchised from having an opportunity to succeed in this great country we call America. And at the same time, though, at the very end, he was asked that question, and you heard it. Is it intimidating to go against the grain of popular culture right now? And he said, it's really not a question of it being intimidating. It's a question of having the guts to do it. And folks, that's the thing that I keep talking about on this show. If we are indeed an audience of right side ruffians, if you and I are willing to look around and see the things that we say, you know what, that ain't right. That ain't right. I can see it and it ain't right. And I'm going to call it out, not on my watch. If we have the guts to say that, I mean, this kid right now is literally defying the odds and doing it well. And he's in high school. What is our excuse? We don't have one. There is no excuse. We have got to say, not on my watch. And you've got to know, I am not alone. There's a whole audience of right side ruffians out there, and they call in from all over the nation to talk to this show. I'm just telling you, we got it going on. There's more of us than there are of them. I'm just saying, there's more of us than there are of them. Conservatives, that's right, conservatives, right side ruffians. All right, folks, we got one more hour to go. I'm going to switch gears, talk Afghanistan for a little bit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back after this.